L.L. McKenney is a YA writer with some serious superpowers of her own. Her Nightmareverse novels are on the bestseller list, with the TV rights optioned. She's just finished a YA graphic novel about Wonder Woman's twin sister, Nubia. It's DC Comics' first Black woman superhero. And she's writing Marvel's Black Widow. It's kind of like she's single-handedly giving us the magical Black heroines of the future, the ones we've been waiting for. Steve Paulson sat down with L.L. McKenney to talk about where it all started, with A Blade So Black, an urban fantasy version of Alice in Wonderland, in which Alice is a teenage Black girl from Atlanta whose job is killing monsters, a.k.a. nightmares.
Well, I had grown up loving science fiction and fantasy, right? And as a kid, I didn't have the ability to articulate what bothered me about this genre that I adored, that didn't adore me back. It was sort of like, there's nobody in the world, and if they're in the world, there's only one of us. Like watching Star Wars, you had Lando, but it's like, I guess Black people hadn't been invented throughout all of space, just this one place, right?
So when you were growing up, there were no fantasy books with a Black girl as a kick-ass hero.
There weren't, well, I mean, there were, but I didn't learn about them until college. We weren't taught these authors in school. So I didn't know Octavia Butler was a thing until college. And I loved all this type of stuff. And now my sister started having kids, and I'm looking at their kids who are falling in love with comics and science fiction and fantasy and all this stuff. And for me, I will be damned if there's not at least one book that my babies can look at in the genre that they love to read. That's essentially what happened, is my sisters had kids and I decided to do something about their bookshelves.
Let's talk about your book and the world that you have created. How would you describe your Alice?
My Alice is essentially a whole geek. Like she's a huge nerd. It's great. I love it. And she uses both that knowledge and her experience as a Black girl in America as her superpower. That's it. And so her self-esteem, her audaciousness to think that she can be big enough to kill monsters is what lets her kill monsters.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to get a taste of your book, maybe a reading from near the beginning. Could you give us a little sense of who Alice is?
Absolutely. So let's jump in at chapter one, a few pages into the book. So we've already got a taste of Addison Hatta, who is her mentor. And at this point, he has been teaching her for a little bit, and now she's about to be armed with what can kill nightmares for the first time. Alice ran her fingers over the ivory handles of the daggers on the desk in front of her. Cold light filled the blades, their surfaces more like silvered glass than steel. You'd think after 3 months of knowing Addison Hatta, she wouldn't be surprised whenever he pulled random weapons out. Pretty. She plucked one up and raised her eyebrows. Light. What are they? Figment blades. Addison dug around in the drawers where he sat on the other side of the desk. The old metal rattled and creaked. For real? She trailed her fingers over the flat of one of the glittering blades. The only things capable of killing nightmares. She'd never held one before, or seen one, really. They'll help focus your muchness. My much what now? Muchness. He slammed a drawer, then jumped with a curse, shaking out his hand. Your muchness, to be precise. That part of you that believes in yourself, even when the rest of you doesn't.
So the world that you've created, there's the real world that we all know. And then there is this other world. It's, you know, dropping down the rabbit hole, going into Wonderland. Can you sort of explain how these two worlds interact with each other?
Yeah. So Wonderland is connected to the world of man because it is essentially the world of dreams. From the beginning of mankind and the subconscious mind, Wonderland has been around, and it's filled with everything that is part of the human imagination, both consciously and unconsciously. And so they affect each other. Like, if something bad happens in the real world, bad stuff pops up in Wonderland, and vice versa. So Alice's job is to keep nightmares, which are physical manifestations of humanity's fears, and they pop up in Wonderland when something happens, or if, you know, enough bad feeling kind of coagulates and becomes this thing, and it tries to get to the human world because humans are the source of its power. If it can cross over, it can cause all kinds of damage, from actually physically attacking people to affecting them, and then those people will start acting out and attacking people, seemingly out of nowhere.
I have to say, this is just a great sort of taking off of sort of the whole idea of the subconscious. Dreams and nightmares, it making them real and part of our lives. You bring it to life.
Well, there's this notion that fear is a physical thing. It has a physical effect on people that we're finally, you know, starting to recognize and address. And it's sort of like stress, how now, relatively recently, there's scientific data that stress causes physical ailments within people.
Right.
Fear does the same thing. So that's kind of what I was building on, was this notion of fear being an actual danger to you, especially if it comes from places like in the book. We don't see it happen, but the characters talk about how there was a young Black girl who was around Alice's age. She was unarmed and killed by police, and Alice's community, like the fear and the anger and the sadness generates two nightmares at once, which is a thing that Alice has never seen happen. And it's a fight that nearly costs her her life.
Yeah. And we should mention that. I mean, so this Black girl who was killed, we never actually see it happen, but there are constant references to it. How does she figure in your story?
Well, Brianne is from Alice's neighborhood, right? So this happens, and Alice's mother reacts by being scared for her own child. And so Alice is trying to, you know, be out here and do her superhero thing. But her mom is like, where are you going? Why aren't you coming home right after school? Why aren't you answering me? And Alice could be like, well, I can't answer you because my cell phone doesn't work in Wonderland. But then you have to explain what Wonderland is. And of course, Alice's mom is going to be like, you doing what now? And if her mom believes her, then she puts the kibosh on the whole thing. You're done. Like, what do you think this is? And Alice doesn't want to give that up because this is her way of coping with her own grief from the passing of her father, which happens page one of the book. And Alice thinks about it a lot as well, where she's like, I'm doing this. I am a superhero. But at the same time, I go home, nothing is different for me. I could wind up dead in a ditch somewhere.
Right. She, in Wonderland, she can get out her daggers and kill the beast, but
right,
that's different than living in Atlanta and what happens to people who actually live there.
Right. I love talking about it because there's this thing where Alice is allowed to defend herself in a reality that's not ours. It's a dream, essentially, for her to be able to defend herself. There's this whole thing where self-defense only exists if you don't have dark skin, right? If you're not Black, you can defend yourself. But other than that, you're the aggressor in that case. So it has an entire effect on the book. It doesn't necessarily overshadow the book, but it's there. This is a book that it's not about race and racism, but it's not completely divested of it because that's life. So,
yeah. So we should talk a little bit more about these nightmares that you've referred to. I mean, in your book, they become monsters. And Alice, her job in Wonderland, she is tasked with killing the nightmares, killing the monsters.
The setup is, Addison is like, it's time, you've caught on really quickly. I'm kind of surprised, but impressed. Let's go kill this little nightmare. We'll kill this baby nightmare. It's fine. And they go in, and this little nightmare is not so little. So Alice, even though being a superhero, she's kind of panicked. And that's where we pick up. Dad's voice filled her head. It did that a lot lately. Memories of him laughing with her, talking to her, chastising her. The tears spilled free and she shook her head. I can't, she whispered.
Breathe.
I can't.
Breathe.
I'll try.
Ain't no try. You know that. What you gonna do?
Her fingers tightened their hold on the daggers. Something swept through her, pushing outward from the center of her chest to the top of her head and the soles of her feet. This. I'ma do this. The nightmare whipped around to face her. It loosed a roar and pounded the ground with its feet. Alice adjusted her weight, then pushed off into a run. The smell of grass and dirt snapped crisp against her senses. Her steps thudded against the ground, mirroring the pounding of her heart, a storm in her chest. She darted across the meadow, coming around the monster's flank. It stood out against the black, her vision sharpening. Aim for the core. Addison's voice reached her above the scream of wind in her ears. The figment blades burned against the night. Their fire stampeded up her arms, filling her, fueling her, igniting something inside her that would never dim again. As she came down on the beast, she tightened her grip and threw her weight into the thrust. The monster roared. So did she. They collided. The book, it's sort of like how I like to reference Lemonade by Beyoncé, because that's something that a lot of people are quite aware of, is yes, the book is for Black kids and Black girls in general, but that doesn't mean other people can't appreciate it. So
yeah,
I never want to write anything that completely shuts anybody out, but it's always going to be geared towards the people that I write for, one way or the other.
L.L. McKinney talking with Steve Paulson. Look for her Nightmare Verse YA novels, beginning with A Blade So Black.